we are holding on Yud Aleph Omid Beis about two-thirds of the way down. We started a discussion yesterday on the concept. We started with the discussion, when do we say, normally we say that Kodshin are Tumim, an animal or whatever that was Tumim, you can't be Pardet. You'd have to wait till it develops a mum in order to be Pardet. But we said, we brought from Rabbi Yochanan that when it comes to the animals that had been bought that were intended to be used for the Korban Tumim, and the end of the fiscal year comes, Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, and now they need to be bought from Truma Chadasha, from the new Master Shekel, then you're allowed, you're able to trade them, you're able to repay to them for money and then buy them back and make them whole and then buy them back with the Truma Chadasha. So we asked, how is that possible?
The upshot is, we finally said, lay based in Masna Alehim, that based in is able to make a tnai
to begin with when these things are bought, that whichever ones we need, whichever ones we don't. That led us into the question, so why do we have a case when you have korbanos of Yom Kippur, or korbanos that are supposed to be brought by the Tzibur for Avodah Zarah, which got lost, where we say we don't just be poi to them and then bring them after all. Rabbi Yehuda says Yomusu, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say that we wait till they develop a mum. What happened till they're based in Masna? We said it's different when they get lost. That's not something common enough that based in should bother making such a tnai for. So then we asked, what about Parah Adumah? Parah Adumah is also a very rare thing. To replace it with another Parah Adumah, Tosfos points out, is even rarer. And yet we say Lev based in Masna Aleihem. The answer is, the upshot we said is that the Parah is different because Damer Yekorin. It's very expensive, and therefore based in will make a Tanai on its behalf. So now we're up to Omamar.
Then use it as a proper
part of them, then tipodin, and we redeem. The problem is,
are we allowed to do that in general? We have a law. You're not allowed to be poided a hektish where the only thing you can do with it is feed it.
Dogs, it would be degrading to hektish to do it. And in fact, the Torah says, the Torah uses that expression that you're going to be poided, it has to be for some purpose. It has to be, for example, in order to be able to eat it or whatever. Here, since it's dead, it's nevela, the only thing you could do is sell it to dogs.
Give it to dogs. I mean, you don't do that. Yeah, you don't do that.
I should say it's not actually based on a pasuk. Because as Tosfos points out, it's actually machlokas in Bechoras that the Stam Mishnah over there says that you can't. So that's it. Then the bottom line halacha is you can't. So how do we say that? You're part of this dead Parah Adumah, which is all you're going to be doing is feeding it to the dogs. What you'd have to do in that case is you'd have to bury it.
So Rabbi Rashashi says, you're right. You can't be poi there the meat of it, but you can be poi there in order that you'll be able to use the skin.
It's also a busha.
No, the skin is not for the body. The skin is not going to be used for the cloth. The skin is going to be used for leather and parchment and whatnot. And that's not for the busha.
Okay, the question is, a tiny based in a Masna Adaita to Oda. What are you telling me? Based in is going to make a Tanai, live based in Masna Alehen, for the sake that if the Parah Adumah die, they should be able to use the skin? Mm-hmm. It's hardly worth anything compared to the Parah as a whole. We said and that's the answer. Basically, yes, Omar of Kanana, Amri Inshi, it's like people say, Migamwa Una. Even if all you get out of one whole camel is its ear, it's worthwhile. At least you get something. So yeah, okay, so you had the Parah Adumah was worth
but
a zillion
just
bucks.
No.
They make the tnai like a chila that if the Parah Adumah were to die, then they should be able to be poded, not for the sake of the meat, but for the sake of the skin, which then they can have hana. Which you're allowed to, by the way. So there's a gamla on it. Okay, fine. Now we finally come to the point where the sugya is relevant to our Mishnah. Esrei. So he asks the question as follows. You're telling me then that Lev based in Masna Alehen, you Rabba are telling me, says Abaya, this whole discussion has been now between Rabba or Rava and Abaya, you're telling me that Lev based in Masna Alehen, we have this concept that based in will make a tnai in advance where necessary. What about in our Mishnah? And they asked Rav Shimon, we said, suppose you have, let's say, the Sar Anasa B'chutz of Yom Kippur, which was supposed to be the Sar Anasa B'chutz, that is, it got lost. They brought a different one instead. Later on, it turns up, can you use that Sar for the Chatas, let's say, of Sukkot, or Rosh Chodesh, or whatever, given that you say that each one of them accomplishes a different type of, a different scenario of Kapara? And he answers them, yes, you can be Makru then. Amrulai, so whoever it is that asked him, and we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara who it is that asked him. Hayover and Kaparas and Shava. Yeah, but if according to you, each one accomplishes a different type of Kapara, Hayachain Kraven, how are you able to be Makriv one? How are you able to replace one with the other? How are you able to take the one of Yom Kippur that would have been Machapur for the case, Yesh V'Yediyah V'Tchilah V'Ein V'Yediyah V'Sof, and use it instead for Regolim, which is going to be Machapur on Ein V'Yediyah V'Tchilah V'Ein V'Yediyah V'Sof, for example. And Omalahan, Reb Shimon answers them, what's the problem? Kulam Boim, Lechapur, Al Tumas Mitzvah Kodra. After all, they all come for the same,
because
it's all one mitzvah, it's all one category, right? So there's different scenarios, yeah. However, still, the problem is, Vamai, why does Reb Shimon have to answer that way? Lema Lev based in Masna Len. Why can't he answer? Rashi explains the question is, it's a bit of a doichik to give this answer. The fact is, it is, after all, different scenarios. So it is a bit of a doichik to say, yeah, but it's all Tumas Mitzvah Kodra. Why doesn't he give a more straightforward answer? Lev based in Masna Lem. Achila when based in buy when based in arranges for the purchase of these animals, they make a tnai. They make a tnai that if it should get lost, that we can use it for the next one. The Rimigash actually explains the question the other way around. If you're gonna say if according to you that lev based in Masna Lem, it means it turns out now since it got lost, it would mean it had no kedusha in the first place. In that case, what do you mean you're being makriv it comes sukkos? It has no kedusha. You'd have to be remarked it. We don't find any such thing.
But that upends Reb Shimon's idea completely.
But that, no, in other words,
could make it tonight to begin with on all the korbanos. They don't have.
Well, that's what we're asking. In other words, that
according yeah,
that's what we're asking. Yeah. Now, Tosfos asked the question. Didn't we say earlier in the discussion that Beis Din does not make it tonight for ones that are going to get lost? So what are you asking? This is a case where it got lost. So this is where I mentioned yesterday, and I'd forgotten that it's Tosfos that says it, that the difference is the ones of the Parim, the Sawyer, Hanasu, the Sinim of Yom Kippur, for they have greater Kedusha because their blood is brought into the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, plus the fact they themselves only take place on Yom Kippur, so therefore people are generally more careful to watch them. Beis Din has no reason to expect that such Korbanos might get lost. The Sawyer, Hanasu, the Chutz, after all, it's a regular kind of chassid. It's a regular sort of run-of-the-mill chassid. It happens to be on Yom Kippur, but other than that, it's like a regular chassid tzibur. So therefore, they're not going to, not necessarily are they, do we expect that they're going to be watching it so carefully.
And therefore, it's
so therefore, it's more logical, it's more likely that Beis Din will take it into consideration to make a tenai on them. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, that's what Tosfos is saying, that the Gemara is assuming when it comes to the Parvasur, the Hanasa Bifnim, Beis Din, we said before, is not going to make a Tanai because it's very uncommon for them to get lost. But here, we were talking about the Sur, Hanasa Bachot, it's a common enough korban, and it's not something that has extra Kedusha, so it is common enough that people might be careless and lose it. Why doesn't Beis Din make a Tanai on it? The fact that Reb Shimon doesn't mention that point implies, evidently, we don't hold that lay Beis Din Masna Lehem. Or, according to the Rimigash's understanding of the question, the point is, obviously not lay based in Masna Lehem, they still retain their Kedusha as a Chatas. Therefore, of course you bring it the next time, because it still has the Kedusha of a Chatas. Had it been lay based in Masna Lehem, it would have not had its Kedusha in the first place. To be Makriv at the next Sukkos or Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan or whatever, you would have to explicitly be Makdish it again, and we don't see Reb Shimon saying such a thing. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Kamert. You're telling me, you're asking me from Reb Shimon's Shitta? Reb Shimon left lay based in Masna Lehem. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Reb Shimon does not agree with this lay based in Masna Lehem concept. So he would hold, going back to the case at the beginning of our sugya, in the case of the animals that were left over come Rosh Chodesh Nissan, he apparently would hold, we'll discuss later whether in fact that remains the case, but for the moment, we're going to say that he would say, therefore, that fine, you'd have to wait until these animals develop a mum and then sell them and then use the money for something else, for a different carbon or whatever. Well, we're going to see. We're going to discuss that. We're going to prove that. And as far as the Ketoros, the Gemara is going to say in a minute. The Gemara is going to say in a minute. Okay. Now, where do we see this? The Amr of Idi Ba'oven, Amr of Amram, where that he doesn't agree. The Amr of Idi Ba'oven, Amr of Amram, Amr of Yechanan. Tzmidin Shloihut Zuchulot Tzibur, the case that we're talking about, you have Karbanas Tamid that were not needed by the Tzibur. The Divrei Reb Shimon Ein Niftin Tzmim. And according to Reb Shimon, they cannot be redeemed when they're Tamim. You'd have to wait till they develop a Mum and then sell them, etc. The Divrei Chachamim Niftin Tzmim. According to the Chachamim, they can be redeemed while they're Tamim, which is what Reb Yechanan was saying at the beginning of the Sugya. So fine, Reb Yechanan is talking according to the Rabbanan. Very well. We don't have the Halacha, not like Reb Shimon. Now we have to figure out who are these Rabbanan. Rabbanan completely alleged Reb Shimon Manninu. Where in fact do we see that there are Rabbanan who disagree with Reb Shimon on this point, and they hold lay based in Masna Lehem? You wanted to assume that there's this concept lay based in Masna Lehem. Where do you get it from? Where do you see that there are actually Tanoim who hold that way? Inema Rabbanan Diktoris? Or are you going to say that it was the Chachamim who were the authors of the Braisa, or the Mishnah before, involving Keturis, where we said that we take the leftover Keturis at the end of the year and we make a whole trade over there involving the Umnin and then paying the Umnin and buying back the Keturis, etc., which we said that wasn't according to Reb Shimon. So what we're saying now, actually, that's not according to Reb Shimon, but you're going to say that, okay, we see over there that you're able to be paid to something which is Tomim, which could have been brought as a carbon. The difference is Shiny Keturis, the Loi Barri'i. Yes, but the difference is, of course, Keturis is not capable of being sent off to pasture until it develops a mum. So necessarily, you have to do something with it. You have all that extra Keturis left over at the end of each year. You got to do something with it. So the Chachamim in that case might say it's a special situation. Therefore, they would say Lev based in Masna Aleh when it comes to the Keturis. Not necessarily would they say that when it comes to the leftover animals, where after all you could always send them off to pasture and then redeem them once they develop a mum. Maybe Basin would not. Maybe even the Rabbanan would agree in that case that we don't say Lev Basin Masna Lehen. But how do we know they would disagree with Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon would say as a blanket statement, ain't Basin. There's no Lev Basin Masna Lehen.
Every case.
So he would say in the case of the Keturis, okay, like we discussed before, maybe the Keturis only has Kedushas Domim. Whatever, but
the Rabbanan,
even the Rabbanan wouldn't necessarily say as a blanket statement, always lay based in Masna Lehen, therefore we can take these animals that are Tomim and be poured to them. Maybe they would agree, animals you can't, Keturis you could. Keturis is different because there's no other alternative. Ella Rabbanan de Para, are you going to say that the Rabbanan who disagree with Reb Shimon are the ones who were the authors of these
brides?
We say, in other words, we can't prove from that case in Shkolim, we can't prove from that Mishnah in Shkolim regarding the Keturis that anybody disagrees with Reb Shimon and says that as a general rule they based in Masna Lehen. They might say in specific cases, like Keturis maybe, they wouldn't necessarily say it across the board.
The proof doesn't come from there.
Right.
And we have to look for
we have to look for another proof, exactly. Okay. Fine. El Rabbanan de Parah. Are we going to say that it's the Rabbanan who were the authors of the Braisa regarding the Parah, the Parah Druma that we said before, that we can be poured it, it became possible, or it died, or even after it was shechted, or you found the nicer one, etc., etc.? So on the face of it, we said, how do we make that work? Only because they're based in Masna Lehen. Okay, the Duma Shiny Parah, the Demer Yekarin. Again, maybe it's special by the Parah because it's so expensive. Therefore, they go to the trouble of making a Tanai on it. Again, who says it applies to a run-of-the-mill sheep that is supposed to be used for the carbon tomid, that we should say late based in Masna Lehen in advance that we're going to be able to arrange for this actual sheep to be brought to the carbon rather than waiting until it develops a mum? Maybe not.
Same thing as...
Same problem as before. The El Rabbanan de Umru Loi. So are we going to say, therefore, that it's the Rabbanan of our Mishnah who omru loy, who argue and ask Reb Shimon, are you telling me that you're able to take the sur that was supposed to have been for Yom Kippur and use it for Sukkot and so forth? The problem with that, which, in other words, they would be saying like this. Since you hold that the kapara of each one is different, and since you hold that there's no general concept of lay based in Masna Lehen, then how are you able to take a carbon that was supposed to be for one type of kapara and use it for a different type of kapara?
He didn't give an answer.
Well, he did. He said that it's all the same. He said it's all the same din. He said that that's all Thomas Mekdesh Kodesh. The problem with that is, Mimai did Reb Yehuda. Now, we had two Chachamim in the Mishnah, two of Reb Shimon's colleagues who disagreed with him. We had Reb Shimon and Yehuda, who was his Talmud. Okay, he had a different version of what Reb Shimon held. But we had Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Which one of them is it that's arguing against him? Which one is the one that's Amru Lai that's making this point to him? If we were to say that it's Reb Yehuda, then let's figure this out. Mimai Reb Yehuda, who says that the one who is Omer Loi in our Mishnah, who says it is Reb Yehuda, who also holds that different ones among the three of them have different types of kaparas? We said in the Mishnah, Omru Loi, they said to Reb Shimon, who's the they?
Who's the they?
If we say it's Reb Yehuda, then that's one thing. Reb Yehuda also, we see, holds each one has a different type of kapara. Because Reb Yehuda said the Sar HaNasa B'chutz does one type of kapara, and the ones of Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov do a different type of kapara. So by him, for him, those three are not completely interchangeable either. One does one kapara, the other two do a different kapara. Therefore, in other words, he could be arguing that he could be arguing the only thing. So he would say, I agree, you can't interchange. I would say you can't interchange one for the other because they have different kaparis. However, I would allow it on the grounds of lay based in masnalayan. But what are you going to do if you don't hold of lay based in masnalayan? Then you have a problem. If we understand that the omru loy on, hold on. Let me re-explain like this. If we say that all these three korbanos, all these three types of chatoyis, hanasos, vachot, the one of Yom Kippur, the one of Rosh Chodesh, the one of Regalim, if we say, like Reb Meir does, that all of them accomplish the same kapara, then what it would mean is he could be arguing against Reb Shimon and saying, me, I have no problem exchanging, using one that was supposed to be for Yom Kippur and using it instead for Rosh Chodesh or what have you. It accomplishes the same kapara anyway. So I would argue with you, not on the grounds whether lay based in Masnalayan or not, but on the grounds that I might also agree that you don't have lay based in Masnalayan, you don't need it, so they all accomplish the same kapara anyway. You who hold they do different kaparas are going to have a problem if you don't hold lay based in Masnalayan. But it doesn't really work out, because we don't have to say then that Reb Meir necessarily disagrees with Reb Shimon on the lay based in Masnalayan point. We, on the other hand, Reb Yehuda, yes, because Reb Yehuda also holds they're not completely interchangeable. He holds that two of them do one kapara and one of them does the other. So if Reb Yehuda is the one questioning Reb Shimon, we have to say that, yes, implicitly he must hold of lay based in Masna, and therefore we can exchange one for the other, whereas he's asking Reb Shimon, you don't hold of that, how are you exchanging one for the other? So that's what our Gemara is going to say. Mimayde Reb Yehuda, how do we know that the Omru Loi of our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda? In which case we would understand Reb Yehuda to be saying as follows, Bishleim Ledidi, according to me it works out well. Damina Lei based in Masna Lehen, I say that Lei based in Masna Lehen, therefore it can be taken from doing one type of kapara to doing another type of kapara. Therefore, I'm able to say that you should be able to take one and be makriv it on another. It's not the same kapara according to me either. Fine, lay based in masna lehen. You who don't hold of that would elulidi doch, but according to you, da'amrit loy, but you say hey, you don't hold lay based in masna lehen, am I yukruv, then why should you be able to be makriv then? That would be if we understand that the omru loy of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. It means that they consider the situation. But the problem is like this. Duma Reb Meir. Maybe the Omru Loi of our Mishnah is actually Reb Meir arguing with Reb Shimon instead of Reb Yehuda. In which case Reb Meir would be saying as follows. He's not arguing on the lay based in Masna. He's arguing on a different point. It's good according to me. I say that all these three seirim accomplish the same three kaparas for each in each case. Well, then that's reason enough to be makir with one in place of another because they all have the same kapara anyway. You don't need lay based in Masna for that. But according to you, each one is a different kapara. Why should we be makir with them? So we don't have a proof from our Mishnah either, from the Omru Loi of our Mishnah. We don't know who the Omru Loi is. It could be Rabbi Yehuda. It could be Rabbi Meir. And if it's Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then fine. Rabbi Yechanan has a proof for his point, and Rava has a proof for his point that lay based in Masna Leia, or at least that there is such an opinion. But if you say that the Omru Loi of our Mishnah is actually Rabbi Meir, then you have no proof.
Because for Rav Meir, they're interchangeable
anyway, but Matat Kapara, yeah, so you don't need, from the point of view of Kapara, you don't need lay based in Masnalayan, yeah. Tosfos points out, by the way, there's a different reason that the Gemara could have said that the Omru Loi of our Mishnah isn't Rav Yehuda anyway. We said before that Rav Yehuda said that a Chata Tzibur that gets lost, Yomusu. You know, you can't use it for a later.
So obviously he can't
be asking that I would hold you can interchange one for the other, but what are you going to do because he doesn't hold you can interchange one or the other. He would hold your Yomusu, yeah. Okay. So the answer is Ela Rav Yechanan Gemara Gomerla. You have to say that Rav Yechanan had the Kabbalah from his Rebbe. Hitaka has no proof from a Mishnah or a Braisa, but he knew, he had learned, that L'divri Rav Shimon ain't Niftin, L'divri Chachamim Niftin. That only according to Rav Shimon do we say that these leftover animals by Rosh Chodesh Nissen cannot be redeemed as long as they're Tamim, but that according to the Chachamim they can. Rav Yechanan had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that's how it is. We don't have anywhere explicitly in a Mishnah or a Braisa that tells us that. Nevertheless, that's how it is. Such chachamim exists. They hold that against Reb Shimon, and therefore he can say the halacha is that you're able to be part to them while they're tama, which is in fact the halacha.
And therefore we imply from that he what?
Because Lev based in Masnale. Because Lev based in Masnale.
So let's go over this whole thing.
Okay. So we said that we started by saying again that these animals left over to Chodesh Nissan, we started saying even though they're Tomim, we make an exception to the general rule that animals cannot be Nifka when they're Tomim, and we're able to be paid to them and buy them from Truma Chadasha.
Right.
After a lot of back and forth, we said that the reason why that works is because Lev based in Masnale.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have ultimately a proof from the Shnayas or Brisis that anybody holds Lev based in Masnale. The first one to bring up that concept was Rabba, explaining what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, because we needed in order for Rabbi Yechanan's statement to work, but Rabbi Yechanan himself didn't use that expression. We know Reb Shimon does not hold of that, because we said that according to Reb Shimon, in fact, the whole thing doesn't work, and you can't be part of these animals. So evidently, he doesn't hold of Lev based in Masnalein. We said that Rabbi Yechanan said, the Chachamim say that we are able to be part of them. How did Rabbi Yechanan know that? Because he learned from his Rebbeim that the Chachamim hold you're able to be part of them, meaning that they hold Lev based in Masnalein.
Okay. Okay.
Even though he doesn't know who those Rabbanan are, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now the question is, well, Reb Shimon de Lesle Lev based in Masnale and Viner. The bottom, okay, what do we do according to Reb Shimon if we say that we don't say Lev based in Masnale and my Abdim Lahu? What do we do with these animals? Now, obviously the answer could have been that we assumed before that we let them graze until they develop a mum and then we sell them, etc. The problem with that is we do want to. These animals were originally bought for the purpose of karbanas. They really ought to be brought as karbanas, after all. The problem is, what are you doing in terms of the fact that the new fiscal year has begun and they were bought with last year's funds? So therefore, what we do is we use them instead for kayat hamizbeach. Kayat hamizbeach, we mentioned yesterday, the Gemara is going to talk about it on Amud Beis, but kayat literally means figs. It literally means figs. Kayat in modern Hebrew, kayat means summer. Not in modern Hebrew, actually, in the Pasuk, but kayat for chorif. It's called the summertime. It's called kayat because that's when they dry out dates and figs, which are called kayat.
It's spelled the same way.
Cool.
Dates
and figs? Maybe it's only dates. I don't remember. Maybe it's only figs. I don't remember. Whatever it is, kayat means only figs. Exactly, figs, as you say on Amud Beis. Whatever it is, kayat means. Kayat means summer figs. The figs grow different times during the year, but the major harvest of them is during the summer, and then they dry them out, and then whatever. So therefore, kayat became the name for the summer on the basis of that. So kayat mizbeach literally means the dessert, the figs that are dessert for the mizbeach. So like we said yesterday, you have times when there's slack season sometimes. You have times when people are not bringing as many karbanos as usual. So that at times like that, they have special funds that are set aside in the mitzvah. In this case, according to Reb Shimon, actual animals that are designated for that purpose, that they're going to use them for kayat and mizbeach. They'll use them for a korban ola when it's slack time, so that the mizbeach is not left unoccupied. The point is, therefore, these animals originally were going to be used as an ola, and they're still being used as an ola. So therefore, it's not a problem.
Even though
it was meant to be for a korban tamid, and now it's for kayat and mizbeach. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. An oila is an oila. As a matter of fact, actually, Mepharshim also point out the point is also that unlike the korbanos tamid and the other korbanos that are requirements for the tzibur, which have to be brought from truma chadasha, which have to be brought from this year's matzah shekel, kayat mizbeach being an optional thing anyway, does not have to be brought from this year's truma. Therefore, we have no problem. These animals were brought with last year's truma. Big deal. Doesn't matter. Kayat HaMizbeach doesn't have to be from this fiscal year.
What is exactly the question?
That's what I'm saying.
It's figs.
No. Kayat means figs. Therefore, we use it as an analogy. We use it for like the dessert of the Mizbeach, meaning karbanos that are brought, like, so to speak, after the main meal is finished. You have dessert, you have figs or whatever, after the main meal is finished.
Absolutely.
So also, for example, after the korban tamid and whatever other korbanos had to be brought that day are done, and therefore now it's like after the meal, now comes dessert. Then you bring a korban ola for the purpose of dessert. So
the
mizbeach. No, the Gemara is going to point out on the base. You can't. You're not allowed to bring honey or fruit juice or whatever on the mizbeach. But it means that, so it means, in other words, this is a carbon that's brought when the mizbeach has nothing else to do, basically. So it's similar to dessert in that sense. It's like after the meal, you
it's
have
an
dessert.
Oila, but it's not.
Really it's still an oila, but it's not a required oila. No, it's still kachet kachem. It still has the dinner of a regular oila. The only difference is it's an oila that's being brought. On the one hand, it's an oila that's being brought out of tzibur funds, out of master shekel funds, but not for a specific purpose. It's not for the talmid. It's not for a musaf. It's not for any other offering that's required in the Torah. It's an optional thing, basically.
But it doesn't do any kapara.
No, it doesn't.
But that's where it's not the same.
Yeah, but it's still an ola. It's an ola. I mean, when you get down to it, an ola, in principle, I mean, an ola accomplishes a certain kind of kapara. We're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about later on at the bottom of your base on the base. That, for one thing, an ola is mechaper on behalf of a person who violated a mitzvah saseh. But the korban tamid, I mean, in a general way, all korbanos accomplish a certain degree of kapara. But there's no specific. There's no specific thing for which the korban tamid is mechaper. In a general way, there's an expression someplace that says, someplace in the Gemara or someplace in the Medrash or whatever, I don't remember, that says that the tamid shel shachar is mechaper for avedus that people did the night before, and the tamid shel ben arbayim is mechaper for avedus that people did that day. But that's kind of in a general way. There's no specific aveda. There's no specific thing that's attached to the korban tamid is mechaper for such and such an aveda.
No,
so the kaisam is there, is also not.
It's a big lowering. I mean, from Tumas Mikdash to
what Tumas Mikdash? Oh, what Tumas Mikdash? We're talking about the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is not Mechapa for Tumas Mikdash. We were talking about the Seirin. Now we're talking about a Korban Tamid. Now, we're talking about animals that were supposed to have been used for the Korban Tamid, and instead we're using them for Kayat Mizbeach. That's not, it's no lower than an Ola is an Ola. An Ola is an Ola. Yeah. Because look at the end of the Rashi in the Kayat Mizbeach Mizbeach. More or less opposite where we are in the Gemara. Look at the last line and a half of Rashi. Sha'arei l'shem ola hu for sure. After all, they were designated for an ola, but kais nami ola. Kais hamizbeach is also an ola. We'll come and refresh my olach and kais. Later on, the Gemara explains in Amud Beis why it's called kais. But it's an ola after all. So therefore, it's no different than the ola that it was going to be before. Okay. Amud of Shmuel bar Yitzchok. However, Rav Shimon will agree when it comes to the Seirin that were the subject of our Mishnah, that with those, if one of those gets lost, or not lost, whatever, sorry, if one of those is not needed, if one of those is not needed at the end of this year, so let's say, for example, Rashi gives the example. So we said up until now, we said that the Seir, that any one of these three Seirim are interchangeable, in the sense you didn't bring it on Yom Kippur, you can bring it on Sukkot or on Rosh Chodesh Cheshbon or whatever. What happens to the one that was supposed to be for Rosh Chodesh Adar and it got lost? Let's say you didn't find it until Nissan came.
Right.
You can't bring it in Nissan because it was bought from last year's funds. So what should we do? On the face of it, we should be doing kites on his back with it, according to what Rav Shimon is saying. No, she'ein mekaitzim begufon ela b'dmehem. No, we're not going to use it itself for kites on his back to bring it as an ola. Rather, we will wait till it develops a mum, and then use its value to buy another animal that will be used for kites on his back. What's the difference? Because the difference is with the tamid that wasn't needed at the end of the previous year and now comes the new year. Fine, before it was going to be an ola, the tamid being an ola, now it's going to be an ola as well. Kaitim is back. But in the case we're talking about where it was supposed to be a chathas and now instead you're going to turn it into an ola, can't. In principle you could, but we make a gzera that you don't do it because, now Rav Shimon holds that you don't have a concept that chatas tzibur mesa, we said before. We said before in the previous part of the sugya that unlike Rav Yehuda who holds that a chatas tzibur, just like a chatas yachid, if the people have already had their kapara, then yamutsu. Rav Shimon doesn't hold of that. He holds the chatas tzibur is never one of the chataris hamesis. So in principle, according to him, yes, you should be able to use it for a korban, or even in this case a different korban, an ola. However, the problem with that is, if you were going to allow it after the tzibur already had their kapara for this month, and now you're going to say make it into kayis hamizbeach, the problem is people may confuse it with the case before kapara. What happens? So you have the animal was supposed to be brought for the korban, let's say Rosh Chodesh Adar. So like this, it was lost and was only found in Nissan. Okay, so they had their kapara in Adar already. But they have the kapara and abir already.
In principle, we could have said that we would use this one of the kais and the zayach. Therefore, again, we can't. Given the point of shimon, we can't deploy it. It's a problem. Therefore, we can't say you're going to deploy it and then rebuy it with this year's money. The point of shimon, we can't do that. You can't bring it as a permanent for the COVID condition of year because it's already from last year's fund. We said before that a coin to shipment in a case like that, you should use a Pekai Samizbeach. However, in this case, you can't because people might confuse it with the case. What happens? You lost it in Adar. You lost it before the Shchodesh Adar. You found it before Rosh Chodesh Adar. You're going to use it for Kaitzam Mizbeach. You can't. People are the kapara of Rosh Chodesh Adar. It hasn't happened yet. You can't now take something that was supposed to be for a chatos where the kapara hasn't even happened yet and turn it into an oilo. Therefore, they made a gzera. Don't even do that after the chatos was brought when it was supposed to.
But they would agree to Reb Shimon's principle that you could transform.
No, this is a coin to Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, we're talking about that Reb Shimon himself, who says that an animal that was supposed to be one type of oila can instead become a different type of oila, he would say in this case, this animal that should have been a chatas, where in theory we should have been able to turn it into an oila, into kais hamizbeach, but we're not going to do that because you definitely wouldn't be allowed to do it while it was still online to be a chatas. Before the Shchodesh Adar came, when it was supposed to have been brought to the Chatas. Therefore, as a Gzera, as a precautionary measure, we're not going to allow it even after the Korban, even after some other goat was brought to the Chatas for that Shchodesh. For the Shchodesh Adar, we're not going to use this one for Kayat HaMizbeach. We're going to wait till it develops a mum, sell it, use the money of it for Kayat HaMizbeach.
That's because people might confuse.
Because people might confuse, exactly.
But if it was not for that, Reb Shimon would
then Reb Shimon would say, use it for Kayat HaMizbeach. Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Amar Abaya, and Abaya says, Afanan Nami Tanena. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we can show that there is a Braisa that shows that exact point where we see Reb Shimon holds that. We learned in the Braisa before, earlier in the Sugya, the power of the Sora of Yom Kippur that got lost. This is the inner one that we're talking about, the Chatzaris HaPnimius, yeah. They got lost. We hear for Shachem Dachteim, and you designated other ones instead of them. And we said also similarly the goats that were supposed to have been brought on behalf of the Tzibur for having mistakenly worshipped Avodah Zarah, if they got lost, and you designated other ones instead of them, we said Rabbi Yehuda holds those are examples of Chatoris HaMesis because they have to be left to die because according to him you have a case where this is a case of Chatos Keniskapru Baleil. This is one of the five cases of Chatoris HaMesis because the Tzibur has already had their Kapara with a different animal, therefore Yomusu. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon say, Yiru Adshi Istavu, we leave them to pasture until they develop a mum, V'imachu, then we sell them, V'imachu, Nadava, and we use the money for Nadava, which Nadava, it means Kayat HaMizbeach. That's the fund that's used for Kayat HaMizbeach. And why do they say that? She'en Chatas Tzibur Mesa, because a Chatas Tzibur is not one of the ones, is not in the category of being Mesa. Right. A Chatas Mesa only applies to Korban, only applies to a Chatas Yachid, they say. Interesting thing, why then the Gemara will learn eventually in Hodias and it's more of the reason behind it.
But one idea is because they say at least one type of Chatas Mesa is that one of the types of chatas amesis is shemesu baaleh, that the owners of it died. So if a person designates an animal for a chatas, then he dies, then we say the chatas has to die also, because after he's dead, he doesn't need to carry bara anymore. The point is, they say that the tzibur is never meshed. The tzibur never dies. The tzibur always goes on existing. It's like a corporation, so to speak, that survives its original stockholders.
Right.
So therefore, in other words, so therefore they say like this. So therefore they say, given that type can't apply to Korban tzibur because the tzibur doesn't die, therefore none of the other types of chataris hamesis can apply to the tzibur either.
Including
the case where it was lost and a different one was brought. Chatas Sheniskapru Baaleh, yeah.
So that only applies to Tzibur.
Right, that's because only the Tzibur doesn't die. Yachid died. Yeah. Okay.
Or you could say Yachid is part of the
Tzibur. Yeah.
Oh boy, now you're...
Yeah, all right. Okay, the point is, V'amai, now we have to ask, okay, so thus far the Braisa, but we have to consider, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, why should we say that we have to let this animal wait until it develops a mum and then we sell it and use its money for Nadava? Nikravu ihu gufayu oila. Why shouldn't we be able to say that Rabbi Shimon would say you take the animal itself and bring it as an oila, kayat hamizbeach? Ela lav shmamina. It must be, we have to say, gzera alacha kapara also lifne kapara. It must be that we say, in theory, yes, you could do that, but we make a gzera that not, because again, you might end up doing that before kapara. You found the third of Yom Kippur, for example, before Yom Kippur even, and you're going to say you're going to bring it as an oiler. You can't do that, because it's still in line to be a chatos. Therefore, we make a gzera even after Yom Kippur. So therefore, that proves our understanding of Reb Shimon is correct. That he holds that when it's possible to use it for kites on his bayach, we do, but not when you're going to have a gzeira like that where people are going to confuse that you had an animal that was supposed to be a chatas and now is being used for an oval. Omar Rava, Achanan Nami Tanena, and Rava says, yeah, we have yet another proof for this from a Mishnah in Yuma. So the Mishnah talks about a case like this. Suppose you have, and we know you have the two, among the korbanos of Yom Kippur, or among the animals, rather, that are brought to the Beis Mikdash for Yom Kippur, because one of them ends up not being a korban, but you have the two seirim, on which a girdle is made, girdle lecha l'Hashem, girdle lecha l'Azazel. So one of them becomes the sar l'Hashem, which is the sar apnimi that we've been talking about throughout the perek. The other one becomes the sar l'Azazel. Now what happens if, so what happens if one of them dies before you have a chance to accomplish what you're supposed to with the other one?
Either one,
yeah. So now what happens? So the point is the Gemara explains over there, the Sur Lashem and the Sur Lazozel have to be designated by girdle. So you can't just say, for example, let's say the Sur Lazozel died before they sent it off Gazozel. You can't just say, okay, we'll take another random goat, designate it Lazozel, and have done with it. You need a girdle to accomplish that.
Therefore
you need to repeat the girdle. You need to repeat the girdle. Well, what happens? Yeah, but you have to. And in fact, the Gemara discusses there are even cases, there's detailed scenarios over there where sometimes you have to repeat other parts of the avodah as well because everything has to go in a seder over there. Whatever, that's not negeya for our purposes. The point being, though, that the point being, so what happens at the end of the girdle? So originally you had these two animals over there. One of them died. Now you make a second girdle on a new set of animals. What happens now at the end? You're left with two seirim that have been designated Lashem, one from the first girdle, one from the second girdle, and one Sarah Lazazel from the second girdle. What are you doing with the extra Sarah Lashem? So the Mishnah says, Vasheni, the second one, and the Gemara discusses over there, which is considered the first and the second one, but that's not really negeh, but the point is, one of those ones that was designated Lashem, Yira Adchi Stoev, again, we leave it to graze until it develops a mum, V'yimacher, and we sell it, V'yifludam of the Nadava, and we put the money into the Nadava box, which goes for Kayetam Azbeach. Again, you leave it to pasture
once
until
it has a mum, then you sell
then you
it.
Sell it, yeah, because we said it, because according to Reb Shimon, you can't sell it all the time.
Has
room. What's it worth? It's still kosher. A person can still shecht it and eat it.
Oh.
Yeah. you could ask that a long time ago, but yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this Yirachi story for a while now already. But yeah, that's what it is. Of course, it still has a value. It's still alive, even when it's dead. We said before the Parah Aduma, for example, you sell it and you get money for the skin.
No,
so, here it's alive and it has a mum. How much more so? Okay, you can't bring it to the carbon. It's still usable for food. It's still usable to pull a kid's wagon or whatever, you know, like in the old days, that goat carts or whatever. Yeah. Okay. No.
Anyway, the point is,
Amai, again, you have to ask, why should you have to wait till it develops a mum? Yikrab iu gufei ola. Again, you should ask the same question. Why wouldn't Reb Shimon say that you could bring this extra Sar Lashem instead, turn it into an Ola, and bring it? Again, Ela Lav Shmamina Gzera Acha Kapara Altu Lifne Kapara. Same thing. You have to say, Reb Shimon would say, yes, but there's a Gzera that you can't do that because you might end up doing that before the other one was even brought as the Sar Lashem, and that you're certainly not allowed to do, to take one that was designated, that was in line to be that Chathas and Sefnimi. Yeah, and therefore they would confuse it with the case way afterwards. So we see that, yeah. So we see that Reb Shimon again would hold that you could do such a thing. However, not when it involves turning a chatas into an oila because of that possible confusion. Amar Ravina, and then Ravina says, here's another one. Afanan nami tenena. We have yet another proof for this concept. We have a Mishnah in Tmura, Braisa, that says Osham shemesu bailav, Ishneskapu bailav, an Osham whose owner died or whose owner had his kapara with a different animal because the original animal got lost. Now, when it comes to an osham, okay, so we talked about before the concept of chatoi tamet. Now, when it comes to an osham, we have different opinions about it. We have an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that for most, if not all purposes, well, not all, but for many purposes in halacha, he holds that an osham has much the same dinim as a chatos. He says on the basis, there's actually a pasuk that says kachatas ka osham, that the chatas are similar.
Is something
it's not necessarily bemazed. I mean, we say every day in davening, there's six types of osham. Asham gzeilus, when a person stole. Asham me'ilus, when he committed me'ilah, v'shogig. Asham shivcha karufa, which is whether v'shogig or bemazed. Asham nazir, which has nothing to do with v'shogig or bemazed. It's when he finishes his nazirus. Asham metzora, same thing, when he's finished with the tzaraf. And osham toli, where he's not sure if he did something that's chayav chatas. Anyway, an osham is a different type of korban than a chatas, and it definitely has different dinim for some purposes. For example, its blood is sprinkled shtei matanos shtei arba, unlike the chatas, where the blood is daubed with the kohen's finger on the four corners of the mizbeach. So they definitely have certain dinim, different dinim for some purposes. Now, but the osham from the chatas. The question is now. What about, for example, though? Let's say the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Zvachim that if a person were to shecht or do any of the other avodas of a chatas shaloi lishma, then the korban is completely posel. So when it comes, for example, most korbanos, let's say an olah, for example, if the kohen, let's say, sprinkles the blood of it, thinking that it, instead of an olah, that it's a shlomim, let's say, it's still a kosher olah. You still continue doing the avodas of it. All it is the owner was not yotze, and he needs to bring another korban to fulfill his obligation.
Same chatas.
No, so a chatas is different, I'm going to say. A chatas, we have a gzeiras hakoso, that with a chatas, you do any of the avodas of it, shaloi l'shma, then it's completely potful. You stop the avoda right there, take it and burn it.
And an asham.
And so that's the question. What about an asham? Rabbi Eliezer holds in Zvachim, and in other places, that an asham has the same dinim as a chatas for that purpose. Shaloi l'shma also applies to it. Therefore, he says that also the concept of chatoris hamesis also applies to it. So therefore, osham shemesu bailav, oshin iskapu bailav. So you have an osham whose owner died, or whose owner accomplished his kapara with another animal. Yira adshi yistar, we let it pasture, we let it pasture until it develops a mum. V'yimacha, we sell it. V'yipla damal v'nadava, we put the money into the nadava box for kayit on his back. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer oyma yomus, Rabbi Eliezer says you have to leave it to die. Because again, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that an osham is, for these purposes, exactly like a chatas. Well, then a chatas would be tomus in such cases, because these are two of the five cases of chatoris hamesis. He holds the same thing as true of an osham. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, or on the side of it here, it says not Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Lazar Omer. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, whatever, says Yavi B'dam of Ola. What you do is you bring an Ola with its value. It means, in other words, exactly what it sounds like. You sell it and you wait till it develops a mum, and you use that amount of money to bring an Ola. So the Gemara, Rashi brings over there from the Gemara over there in Tamura that in that case isn't Rabbi Yeshua effectively saying the same thing as the first Chacham. They said the Kaitim is Be'ach. He's saying an Ola. The difference is that the difference is that it says over there if we're talking about the owner himself has to take the value of this animal and use it for an Ola, then it means it's an Ola Siyachid. He does smicha on it. He has to bring the Nesachim for it. When it's kayitz mizbeach, nobody does smicha on it because you generally don't do smicha on korbanos tzibur with a couple of rare exceptions, and the nesachim are going to also come from the tzibur. So that would be the difference. So we have three different opinions. The Tanakama would hold that you use the money for kayitz mizbeach once it develops a mum. Rabbi Eliezer says tomus, and Rabbi Yeshua says the owner himself has to bring the equivalent value as a private owner. The point is, again, the question is, according to the Chachamim, according to the first opinion in this Braisa, v'likrav ha'gufa ola, why are you saying you have to wait till it develops a mum and then sell it and then use the money for kayit mizbeach, which ends up being an ola? Why not bring it itself as an ola? Elalav, obviously the answer is, again, like we said before, zera la'acha kapara, also with kapara. We have to say, again, because in principle you could, but you have that zera. So therefore, shmamina, so that also proves that you can't do that.
That's the third proof now.
So we have the third proof. We have the case of the pirate Sarah Shiyamak Purim. We have the case of the Shnei Se'irim of Yom Kippur where one of them died. And now we have a third one of an Asham. So in all those three cases, we see that the animal itself is not used for Kayat HaMizbeach because of the Zera. Rather, we wait and we leave it to graze, to pasture until it develops a mum and then sell it a better. Now returning to an earlier part of the sugya, Tanya Nami Hochi, we said, not really the beginning of the sugya, but going back to the middle of the Amud, where we said that Rabbi Yochanan said, according to Rabbi Shimon, since you have these leftover korbanos from the previous year, these leftover animals that were supposed to be tmidim, that can't be brought as tmidim, and you can't be part of them, according to Rabbi Shimon, we use them for kaitam as beach. So now we have a braisa that points out that exact point. Till now, we've talked about the angle on it, the fact that when it was supposed to be a chatas or an osham, you can't turn it into an ola because of the gzera. Now we have to bring a proof for the initial assertion of Rabbi Yochanan that when it comes to the ones of that when it comes to the ones that were supposed to be an oiler, that they can be used instead for an oiler for Kaius on his back. That's the price that we're going to bring now.
Tosfos learns a little differently, that the
proof is going to, that the Faker, Tosfos says, the proof is, Tosfos learns the next statement a little bit differently, that we're not talking about using the animal itself, rather we're using its value. So therefore, Adarabba, this Braisa would be yet another proof for the idea that we don't take the animal that was supposed to have been a Chatas or an Asham itself and use it for Kayas and Mizbeach, rather we use its value, like we brought from the previous week. So according to Tosfos, this is the fourth proof. According to Rashi, this is going back to the original statement of Rabbi Yochanan about what Rabbi Shimon holds. Yeah. So Mahi, it's not a question of halacha. I mean, it's a question of trying to understand what Rabbi Shimon is saying, really.
Right.
I mean, the actual halacha in these things is a little bit of a hybrid. We do say that Lev based in Masnale, and we do say that Beistin is able to make the Tanai in advance. So we said not like Reb Shimon, because we said Reb Shimon doesn't hold of that concept. So we are able to say, for example, that the leftover Tmidin at the end of the year are able to be used for the next year's Tmidin by selling them and then rebuying them with the new year's funds. We don't need to do them for Kayat and Mizbeach, like Reb Shimon said. On the other hand, this that we're saying, that this is what we brought several proofs, that Gzeira La'acha Kapara, also Lifnei Kapara, we do hold of that. We do say that the Chatois Sibur, we don't leave them to die. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda in that regard. We do hold that they are not chatoris amesis. However, because of this zera, therefore we end up using their value for kaiyot amizbeach rather than them themselves. So a Braita says, what do they bring from the moisturis? So here's where Rashi and Tosfos disagree what moisturis means. Rashi understands moisturis to mean the leftover animals, that again, they bought animals during the year for the Korbanos Sibur, and now comes the Chodesh Nissan, and they have leftover ones, because he said you always have to have a minimum of six. According to Tosfos, moisturis means leftover chatois and ashamos, the cases that we had in these last few brises, where you had an animal that was supposed to have been a chatos or an asham, and now is leftover. Or actually, Tosfos just says moisel chatas for asham, which actually might mean when you have, so sometimes moisel chatas and asham means, let's say, you designated X amount of money to buy a chatas, and you bought the animal, and now you have leftover money. Which also the dinah that goes to Nadava, by the way. Anyway, so what do they do with the moisture? Dessert, like bnoi shuach for the mizbeach. Bnoi shuach are a type of figs. Tosfos actually has a bit of discussion over here about the pros and cons. From some Gemaras, it seems that Bnois Shuach are an exceptionally good kind, are an exceptionally good quality kind of figs, like we're saying over here, use it for dessert. There are other Gemaras that seem to imply that they're actually a poor quality. So Tosfos has a few different explanations about it. Maybe there's different types of Bnois Shuach. There's plain Bnois Shuach, and there's Moichsusin Bnois Shuach, or it could be that it's not so much that Bnois Shuach are the ones that imply that it's bad quality. It's not so much that it's bad quality. It's that they take a much longer time than normal to grow. A few different back and forth. Whatever.
Sometimes the Gemara uses a word, a praise word, or something that's not praiseworthy. So,
there is that also, but still, no, the actual question, Nois Shuach, you were saying that they're used for dessert. But Tosfos also brings, by the way, from a Medrash that says that one opinion is Nois Shuach with actual fruit from the Eitz Hadas. And therefore, that's why they're called Nois Shuach, because they call it Shucha. They call it a bowing down for the human race. Shucha means like bowing down, like in Russian Mishtachava. Or Shucha could also mean like a pit, Bikoru Shucha, for example. Whatever it is, anyway. So, we're saying we use that with Nadava, again, the moisture, the leftover animals, or according to Tosfos, the leftover chatos and asham, whatever, we use for kayet kibnos shuach on mizbeach. We use it for dessert, like bnos shuach, for the mizbeach. So the question is, what do you mean? You can't bring bnos shuach on mizbeach. The prophet says, ki chosa over chod vash. We quote it every day in davening. All chomet and all dvash. Dvash means not just bee honey, it also means fruit juices and whatever. You're not allowed.
Exactly
Bnei Shuach is the type of figs we're saying, but that means they're juicy, they're sweet fruit. And the pasuk says you're not allowed to bring any kind of dvash, which means which includes sweet fruit. You're not allowed to bring it on a mizbeach. So what do you mean you're bringing Bnei Shuach?
Dvash means
any.
Fruit.
Yeah, for example, in the Shiva Saminim, when we say in the Shiva Saminim eret zeis shemen or dvash, we don't mean dvash as in bee honey. We mean dvash as in date honey. date syrup.
But that's only date.
No, but the dvash has it in general. The whole dvash means any kind of sweet fruits or whatever are not allowed to be brought,
figs.
Including figs. So how are you?
Which one? Sage, figs, whatever.
So whatever, any other kind of sweet fruit. Apples, I guess, also.
Apples.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, the point is.
I wouldn't put an apple on the bear after today.
Before today. Okay. yeah. So
it's not that
easy. Okay, so what do you mean that you're giving the mizbeach a dessert like b'nai shurach, implying you might sometimes do b'nai shurach? You instead you bring a korban b'nai shurach. You're not allowed to bring on the mizbeach. Toni rochanina kiv b'nai shurach l'adam. No, what it means is like what b'nai shurach are to people, a nice kind of dessert. That is what kaisa mizbeach is for the mizbeach, a nice dessert after it's, so to speak, eaten its meal for the day, after it's, so to speak, eaten something. It's not actual fig, but it accomplishes the same thing for the mizbeach as figs do for people, as a dessert. Since we're talking about kites and mizbeach, that's what it is. It's a korban ola.
It's a
korban ola.
And what's the animal?
Whatever kind of animal it could be. Whatever kind of, all the three types of animals that can be brought, it's korban.
It's called, okay.
Yeah.
It's called the meshuras, meaning it's a dessert.
It's a dessert, right. Yeah. Okay. Dorosh, since we're talking about kaitzim is there, another din about it, Dorosh of Nachman Baruch Chista, Eim kaitzim ba'ola sa'ot. You cannot use, for kaitzim is there, you cannot use a bird ola. Meaning, these nedava boxes that we're talking about, that you're supposed to buy with them korbanos, that are korbanos ola for the slack time, kaitzim is there. You are not allowed to use that money to go and buy birds as a korban ola, even though an individual person can bring a korban ola, but for kaitz and mizbeach, you can't do it.
Why?
So we'll see. Amar Rava ha burcha. So Rava says this is a burcha, which means, so there's a few different places in the Gemara where the expression burcha is used. Here Rashi explains it's something that you made up. Where do you get such a concept from? In different other places, Rashi says it's a dvar gnai, it's something embarrassing to say, or it's something that's in a different place, Rashi gives a different explanation that means that it means damarastos, whatever. The point is, what are you talking about? Where do you get this concept from?
Where did I hear this from?
Urcha? I don't know.
I don't know.
The last time we had it was in Kuban. So we're going back a couple of years. Yeah. Okay. What do you mean? How do I know? Because you asked me how I know. Because I see the Mesiras Hashanah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok to Rava. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok was one of Rava's Talmidim. Says Rava, my bruchta. What do you mean? It's a fiction or it's a process or whatever. It's not. I know I'm Ritzon Yale. You should know I'm the one who told it to him, and it wasn't just my own idea. Or Meshmedet of Shimi Minahada, I'm Ritzon Yale. I told it to him in the name of Shimi Minahada, who is a recognized authority, and therefore there has to be a source for it.
So.
Yeah. And how do I know the Amr of Shimi? What's the basis on which Rav Shimi Bar Minahada said this? Because the Amr of Shimi Minahada moistures the nidvas tibur adli. The reason is because these moistures, all these leftover monies that go into the nidava boxes, all have to be used for a korban for a nidava on behalf of the tibur. The ain olas oif for tibur. The tibur never brings an olas oif. In fact, Rashi brings some Torah kainim on a pasuk that we say a yochid can bring an oif. The tibur cannot. So therefore, by definition, the nedavos, which is meant to be for korban tibur, are not going to include birds.
The busher, I know.
As a matter of fact, actually, I think the Ritzva talks about that. Rava might not agree. Rava might say, I don't hold that bright. I don't think that bright is accurate or whatever. As a matter of fact, Tosfos also talks about that. Actually, that even on the basis of a different Gemara, that let's say, for example, they did. Let's say they did go mistakenly buy money with one of these, buy a bird with one of these nedavos things, then fine, you bring it, because what else are you going to do with it? So Rava might have held. In that case, if you can do it b'di'evet, then you can do it l'chatchila also. So that was a side thing, just to point out, when we're talking about kaitzim mizbeach, that it has to be an animal, it cannot be an earth. Okay, now getting back all the way to the beginning of the sugya, where we said that Rabbi Yochanan had started by saying not the beginning of the sugya, but the middle of it, where we said the last thing that we had that Rabbi Yochanan said, where he said that according to Rabbi Shimon, these animals left over at the beginning, at the end of the year. You can't be poor to them. Therefore, Reb Shimon had said you use them for kaitz and mizbeach. Now we're going to see that. Now we're going to bring another proof for this concept. Va'af Shmuel sava lahadir Rabbi Yechanan. Shmuel also agrees with the statement of Rabbi Yechanan that
you don't need to leave these animals to graze till they develop a womb, etc. You're able to use them themselves for an oila, for kaitz and mizbeach.
Shmuel agrees with that.
The Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, because we see that Yehuda says that because Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Korbanos Tzibur Sakin Meshachta Mamashahein.
When it comes to the Korbanos Tzibur, the sakin, the knife that's used to shech them,
draws them, pulls them to be the type of korban that they were designated originally, even if it wasn't the original korban. So, for example, so let's say, here you have an animal which was supposed to have been an ola used for the talmid. Instead, we're using it for kaitz and mizbeach because it could no longer be used for the talmid. Fine, sakin meshachta mamashahein. The sakin makes it that it becomes, when it's shechted. In other words, the point when it's shechted, then it becomes what it was originally supposed to be.
Oh. Meaning an ola.
Tosfos and most other Rishonim have some problems with this explanation of Rashi. One of them being that in that case, what do you mean? It's not what it was originally supposed to be. It's what it's now.
Before it was going to be the Talmud, now it's going to be Kaitz and Mizbeach. You can't say Lamasha Hain what it is now. It would have had to say Lamasha Hoyu, what they were supposed to be. So instead,
initially
they were supposed to be a Talmud. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Okay. No, but that's not the point. We're saying sakin meshachta mamashahein, but that's, so what does it mean? It can't mean like what Rashi says, and then most other Rishonim say it can't mean what Rashi is saying, that now when it's shechted, it becomes what it was supposed to be originally. We're not saying what it was originally. We're saying what it is now. So yeah, they want it to be something else now. They want it to be based in Masnalen. We want to use it for something else now. So they explain that what it means is that no.
Like this, when you have animals are born with a korbanos tzibur, they're not designated at the time when they're bought. This is going to be for the Talmud, this is going to be for the Musaf, this is going to be for whatever. They're just bought stam. Later on, once they're shechted, eventually, when it comes to the point, when they're shechted, at that point, they become what they're supposed to be.
That they can say until the last moment, they can say, you know what, we decided we're not going to use this particular one for a Talmud, we're going to save it for the Musaf, for example. They're able to do that.
You learn similarly in a Braisa. Reb Shimon does agree when it comes to the Sor, the Seirim that we were talking about in our Mishnah, the Chatzaris HaTzibur. Sheim like Karav Berego Yikar Beresh Chodesh. If you didn't bring it on Yom Tov, then you bring it the following Rosh Chodesh. The Im like Karav Beresh Chodesh Yikar B'Yom Kippurim.
If you didn't bring it on Rosh Chodesh, let's say again it got lost, you bring it instead in Yom Kippur. The Im like Karav Yom Kippurim Yikar Berego. You didn't bring it on Yom Kippur, then you bring it on Sukkot. The Im like Karav Berego Zeh Yikar Berego Lacha. You didn't bring it on one Yom Tov, you bring it on the next Yom Tov, Pesach, for example. Shemit Chilaster Leibba. Well, actually, maybe not from Sukkot to Pesach, because it's the new fiscal year, but okay, whatever. Shemit Chilaster Leibba Ela Lachapra Mizbeach Chitzen, because the whole purpose of it originally, it was meant for a kapara on the Mizbeach Chitzen. Meaning, in other words, so we see, as long as it's in the same category, in other words, as again going back to Reb Shimon had said in our Mishnah that they're not. Kaparos and Shava, each of these three types of chatos accomplishes a different type of kapara, but as long as they have something in common with what they were supposed to be originally. Originally, they were supposed to be a chatos for Tumas Mikdash Rekodjav, and now again, it's going to be a chatos for Tumas Mikdash Rekodjav. That's okay. By the same logic, therefore,
an oila, which was meant to be a carbon tamid, can instead become an oila for kaitz and mizbeach, because before it was meant to be an oila that was brought on the mizbeach hachitzen,
and now it's also going to be an oila that's brought on the mizbeach hachitzen. So the Shimon has no problem with that.
Which Tosfos points out, therefore, you have the point that he said in the Mishnah that it's still lachapra al Tumas Mikdash Rekodjav. You also need this point about Mizbeach Chitzon, because it means, for example, the Shimon would not say that, let's say, you take the one that was supposed to be the Sur HaPnimi and change it and make it the Sur HaChitzon instead. That's for sure not. There's two conditions, right? You need both. It needs to be that it has to do with Tumas Mikdash Rekodjav, and it has to be as brought on the same Mizbeach, right? Right.
Okay, so that's so We learn in a Braisa that it was only made Kodesh in order to be brought on the Mizbech HaChitzen, and therefore as long as now it's being brought on the Mizbech HaChitzen as the same type of Korban, then we're okay. And we said before, in theory, you could have even done it as a different type of Korban, a Chatos become an Ola or whatever, except that we make a Gzera and therefore we don't do it.
We make a Gzera
that we're not going to use this one that would have been meant for a chatas and instead use it itself for kaitz and mizbeach, because you might end up doing the same thing before the time of the bringing the chatas even came, and then it would be also to do that. You can't take it that was meant to be a chatas, which is now in line to be a chatas, and bring it for an oil. That you can't do. So once a different animal was brought for the chatas, in principle you could do it, but make a Gzera not to do it. But we see that Rav Shimon does hold that as long as it's the same, as long as it's on the mizbeach hachitzon and the same type of carbon, then it's fine. So same mizbeach and same purpose. So the same way, for example, therefore the animals that were supposed to be for the tamid, according to Rav Shimon, you can use them instead for kaitz and mizbeach, because before it was going to be an ola on behalf of the tzibur, and now it's also an ola on behalf of the tzibur.
Well, what's kaitz and mizbeach?
Kaitz and mizbeach, we said, is carbonus that are brought during slack times. There's no other carbonus being brought yet. Yeah, dessert. Yeah. Okay.
And are they any specific type of carbon? Just call
them any type of animal. We just said before, you can't use a bird for that. But any of the regular animals.
It would be perfect. That's a perfect system then, because whatever couldn't be, well, for whatever reason, didn't make it in time.
That's what Rav Shimon is saying. According to the Chachamim, you don't need to do that. According to the Chachamim, against Rav Shimon, we say l'hatchila, we make a tnai that any animals that are left over come Rosh Chodesh Nissan that were bought with last year's money will instead redeem them for money. We'll use them and then we'll rebuy them with Shurma Chadasha, and then we'll use them themselves as the actual Talmud. According to Rav Shimon, fine, we're going to end up using them as Korbanos, but not as the Korban Talmud, but rather as Kais and as Be'ah.
Chachamim don't bring these two conditions up.
Well, the Chachamim say you don't even need that. You say you're going to use it as the original carbon that it was going to be for. Okay. Now we get to the point in our Mishnah. We had said, so we have the case where a person violated Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh B'mezid. Until now, we were talking about various types of shogeg. He didn't know about it at all. He didn't know at the beginning and forgotten. He knew at the beginning and forgot in the middle and remembered later on. He didn't know at the beginning and knew later on, et cetera, et cetera. The Mishnah had said that when you have a Zobin Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh, Sir Hanaf the Pnim Fuller. Then we said we're back to the Sir Hanaf in the Sir with water sprinkled in the Kodesh. It's the only one that's going to be Machaper for that, for that, the Sir Hanaf the Pnim. So a Plotium Kippur itself. So Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? The Tanan Abana, it's like this. Because we're in a Braitha, the Pasuk describes regarding that Kodesh as follows. It says, the Chippur ala Kodesh is going to be Nei Yisrael, but then the whole Pasuk goes like this. You can see it in Torah or Shalom Beis on the side. The chipper ala kodesh mitumis bnei Israel. There should be mechaper regarding the kodesh from the tumis of the Jewish people. Umi pishehem and from their pshoyim l'chol chatoisam regarding all their chatois. The chen yasal olmayit, etc. That part is not relevant to our discussion. So when it mentions pshoyim and it mentions chatoim, pshoyim elu hamerodim. When it says umi pishehem their pshoyim, the word pesha means merodim, means ones that are done rebellious against Hashem. Thus we find a pasuk in Nevi'im, in Malachim, where the king of Yehuda says to Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, Yehoram his name was, says to Yehoshaphat, Melech Israel, Melech Moav Poshabi, the king of Moav has rebelled against me, let's go together to war against him. But you have a different pasuk later on in Malachim, during the time of Yehoshaphat's son, Yehoram, who had the same name as his cousin from Yehuda, this Yehoram was a Rosha, like his cousins from Malchus Yisrael. So he worshipped Avodah Zarah and did other Avedas. At that point, Oz Tifshal Livna Ba'esahi, at that time, Livna, one of the cities of Eretz Yisrael, rebelled against him. So again, we see that the Shoresh Posha means to rebel. Chatois Elu Ashgogas, then the Posha continues that Chatois means that the Sir Hanaf Rifnim is Machapa for Chatois, Elu Ashgogas, that refers to ones that were done Beshogig. Yeah. Bechainu Eimer Nefesh Kisekta Beshogig. As we have a Posha that a person sins Beshogig. So we see that Chet is associated with Beshogig. So therefore, so we see.
It's Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh.
Yes, that we established earlier because we said we had two different ways of learning it. One is because it says Al HaKodesh, the Al HaKodesh Mitumos, implying that it only deals with Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh. And the other way we said we learned Mitumos, but like Kol Tumos, and we narrowed down. This was a few days ago on Daf Kaf.
So all the Mezid,
Mazid of other things we said later in the Mishnah is dealt with by the Sura HaMishtaleach. Well, we had a couple of different opinions in the Mishnah about the nitty gritty of it, but yeah, we'll get to that later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's any other Mazid that you do is in the Sura HaMishtaleach?
Right. And then again,
yeah, the sheep called
No. Well, anything that a person did that requires him to bring his own personal carbon, he still has to bring it out to the Kippur. It's not machaper on him to that extent. We're talking about cases where a person does not have to.
The sheep carbon is something that you can do in Mason and you can make a carbon for.
Yes, but you still have to bring your carbon after you give it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Tosfos asked the question, by the way. We talked about in previous sugyas, we said that each of these carbonas is only supposed to accomplish one kapara. All of a sudden, you're telling me here that the Sura HaNafim is accomplishing two kaparas.
One for
sugyas and one for mazes. So Tosfos gives two answers. One of them is when we say it's only mechapa one kapara, we mean it's only mechapa one kapara. In other words, that it can't be mechapa the same kapara as any other carbon. It itself can be mechapa on multiple things, but not ones that are shared by any other carbon. But looking at when we started loading the Masechta, I prepared these tables, and then actually the first day we were doing the Mishnah, I forgot to bring them, but. You can see over here, the Sura HaNafim B'Fnim takes care of two cases, where there was Yediya B'Tchila and no Yediya B'Sof, and the case of Zodin, where there was the Mazid. But nobody holds, none of the four opinions in our Mishnah hold, that either of those cases is shared by any of the other Karbanos. Therefore, sure, it can be Mechapur on two things, but as long as those are disjoint from everything else. Yeah, go ahead. That's one answer, Tosfos says. The other thing is it means it's one Kapara for sure, you're going to want for Mazid.
At the same time?
One each. You know, it can't be mechaper on two types of shergig or two types of mazid, but it can be mechaper on one shergig and one. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah like this. Al shara avedas shem atzora. Then we said regarding the other avedas shem atzora, akalas v'achamuras adonis v'ashgorim kolos. We said in the Mishnah that for other avedas shem atzora, whether they're kal minor avedas or whether they're chamur serious avedas, or whether they're zodin or shgorah, or whether they're hoida or loy hoida, or Eser or Lois Eser, or Chrysis or Mrs. Bastian, all of those we said the third Amishtaleach.
So, the question is, what's the terminology? Hainu Kalos,
Al Shara Vera Shavachar, Al Kalos Vachamuris, Al Zonis Vashkog Solo, Hainu Kalos, Hainu Eser, or Lois Eser.
On the basis of it, Kalos means an Eser and a garden variety Lois Eser, the kind of only five mouths. Chamuris, Hainu Chrysis or Mrs. Bastian, and Chamuris means Chrysis or Mrs. Bastian. So, you're telling me Kalos and Chamuris. Esther and Moisa said Christmas and Mrs. Basis, but there's repetition there.
And similarly,
Hoida Hainu Mazid.
And on the face of it, what does Kalos mean? It means Esther and Moisa. What does Chamuris mean? Christmas and Mrs. Basis. So why is the Mishnah listing them separately as though they're different categories? And similarly, why is the Mishnah listing separately? Why is it Hoida Hainu Mazid, Loi Hoida Hainu Shogig? What is the Mishnah saying, whether it was Zodon or Shogig, and whether it was Hoida or Loi Hoida? Hoida presumably means he knew what he was doing and he did it anyway, which is the Mazid. Loi Hoida means he didn't know what he was doing, which is the Shagid. So again, it's repetition. Yeah.
Now, what it means is like this. Amar of Yehoda, Hachikam. Now, what it means is like this. Al Shara Avedas from Atarda, regarding other types of Avedas in the Torah, meaning not the Chamuroid, Al Shara Avedas from Atarda, Ben Kalas, Ben Chamuroid, regarding other Avedas in the Torah, other meaning as opposed to, we'll say in a second, whether they're kalos or chamuros, meaning whether it's regular esters or lois esters versus chrysis or mrs. Bastin, bain chops on b'shogig, bain chops on the mazid, whether you did in b'shogig or the mazid, oisin chops on the b'shogig, bain noidolois sveikon,
bain loi noidolois sveikon. Okay, sorry, let me repeat that. Ashar avedus retor, regarding the other avedus on the Torah, other meaning other than Tumas Mithish Rekodshov that we've been dealing with all this time. Sorry, yeah. So, any other avedus.
Bain Kalos and Chamuris, whether they're minor Averis or major Averis, Bain Chops on the Shogig, Bain Chops on the Mazid, whether you give them the Shogig or the Mazid, and within Osem Chops on the Shogig, within the ones that you did the Shogig, you can have the case, Bain Nodolite Staken, Bain Loin Nodolite Staken, you can have the case where you did the Shogig, not the Shogig as in you didn't know what you were doing, but the Shogig as in the case where it brings you to an Osem Tolu. So the classic case of Osem Tolu is, for example, you had a suffix. Classic cases, for example, you have two pieces of fat in front of you. One is chalav, one is not. You ate one of them, you're not sure which one you ate. That's what we're talking about when on this and says shergig, that's the kind of shergig it means. So within shergig, bein nodol, it's faithful. Whether you found out before Yom Kippur about the suffix. You found out before Yom Kippur that you're in a situation of suffix. Bein loy noydalai, or whether you did not know, you only found out after Yom Kippur that what you ate was suffix, Caleb. All of those, Yom Kippur is not applicable, in the sense that you do not have to bring your korban after Yom Kippur. And Oshem Tolui, I just mentioned the idea that you don't, when you hire a korban, you have to bring an after Yom Kippur. That does not apply to an Oshem Tolui. That is what our Mishnah wants to inform. So you have a case where you were over on an Aveira of the Mazid, where in most cases there's no korban to bring anyway, or the Shogeg, meaning a case of Sofik, a case where normally you should have to bring an Oshem Tolui, and like this Yom Kippur passed after the Aveira was done, whether you found out about the Sofik before Yom Kippur or after it, all those cases were saying the Sarda Mishtalayach is Mechapur. And the Mishnah continues. So what about the repetition of Kalos and Chamuris, Krisis and Mrs. Basin? The Elohim Kalos, the definition of Kalos is as follows. Esther Beloy says that. The Elohim Chamuris, Krisis and Mrs. Basin. The definition of Chamuris is ones that are Chayiv Kored or ones that are Chayiv Mrs. Basin.
Which is more
Chamur than Esther and Loy says that, yeah. But now we understand the repetition of our Mishnah. When it mentions Shogeg versus Mazid and then it mentions Hoda versus Loy Hoda, Hoda and Loy Hoda are details within Shogeg. Because it means, in other words, we're talking shogeg, as in there was a suffix. Did he find out about the suffix before Yom Kippur, and therefore they chayv an Oshem Tolui, or did he only find out about it after Yom Kippur?
Either way, he's potter from his Oshem Tolui. Once the Sarad HaMashtalayach was central. Then the fact that the Mishnah mentioned Akalos Vachamuris, and then it mentioned Krisis and Mrs. Beis, then that's a definition. The definition of Kalos is Esa and Loisis. The definition of Chamuris is Krisis and Mrs. Beis. So then we'll deal with tomorrow the question. We'll deal with tomorrow, Bez Hashem, the question of what is the situation over here where a person needs this kind of where a person needs and can get this kind of kapara. Either it should be an escape with tshuva, or it should be the person doesn't get kapara from Yom Kippur, as the case may be. We have to figure it out. Right? What's the scenario where we're saying that you're not getting kapara unless it's a Sarah Mashallah? But once it's Sarah Mashallah, then you get your kapara. What is the scenario exactly we're going to deal with?
So what would it be when you...
That's what we have to figure it out. So the Gemara in Yuma tells us that there's four different types of... The Alter Rebbe brings it at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva. There's four different basic categories of Averis. Some of them you do Tshuva and you're right away forgiven. Some of them you need other things. Some of them you need other things also. But, in particular, what we're going to talk about is the Mitzvah Saseh, for example. Mitzvah Saseh is category number one over there in Yuma, where we say as soon as you do tshuva, then you're forgiven. So then in that case, what do you need the Sarah Mashallah for? That's the first thing we're going to deal with.
When is it fine?
Right. What's the scenario when you need the Sarah Mashallah?